The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We've got with us today Dr. Nayantara Hensel, Professor of Industry and Business at the Industrial College of the Armed Forces. She previously served as Chief Economist for the Department of the Navy, where she provided economic guidance on the defense of the defense industrial base, the financial health of defense contractors, which my guess is they're very healthy, commodities and strategic materials. And I mentioned to you earlier, as I said when I opened the show, if you weren't around when I opened the show, I spent the first 10 minutes just reading her her bio. But I will say this, let me just kind of run it through again. She has her MA and PhD from Harvard University, where she graduated magna cum laude and Phi Beta Kappa, and specialized in finance and economics. She served as a Pentagon Scholar in Residence. She's taught at Harvard, the Stern School of Business at NYU, and the U.S. Naval Postgraduate School. And so, and she is our, truly, I think she's absolutely our favorite guest. We say this every time.
I know.
But she's our favorite guest.
She's a slacker.
That's right. And today she is representing NABE, the National Association for Business Economics. Dr. Hensel, welcome back.
Well, thank you very much. This is always a wonderful show, and there's always just this great dialogue and great ideas that come in the course of it, and I appreciate your inviting me.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, I read your report last night. You guys are pretty optimistic out there, it looks like.
Well, we are. I mean, the National Association for Business Economists panel actually forecasts a gradual acceleration in economic expansion from a 2.6% rate of growth in the fourth quarter of 2013 to about 3% beginning in the second quarter of 2014 and continuing on. But our panelists do have some concerns. About 46% of the panelists believe that this year's cuts in federal spending will reduce the growth rate of real GDP for the fourth quarter of 2013 by half a percentage point or less. And this survey was actually done between August 8th and August 20th before Syria, came to the front lines. And, you know, it's likely that if we do get involved, I think, in the military operation in Syria, we're going to see less of a cut in federal spending, especially defense spending, on the growth rate of real GDP than we would. So that's certainly something to think about. The panelists suggest that there is an 80% probability that the Federal Reserve will reduce its asset purchase program in 2014, and that there's a 45% probability that the Fed is going to reduce both the monthly purchases of mortgage-backed securities and treasuries in 2013. The downside of the reduction in the asset purchase program is that we've been seeing mortgage rates rising. And, you know, although the panelists estimate that residential investment and housing starts will continue to grow, as well as home prices, you know, they're predicting 6% growth in home prices overall for 2013, about 4.8% for 2014. So they're expecting it to slow down a bit. The panelists are suggesting that consumption will continue to grow slowly in 2013. We saw a lot of positive retail data recently. However, I think that one of their major concerns is that a lot of it was, you know, in retail. It was back to school. It also was, record levels to back to 2007 of light vehicle sales. But is that going to continue? That's a question. And, you know, they are fairly optimistic about the labor market. They're expecting it to show improvement, reaching 7% in 2014. But again, with that labor report that came out Friday with an unemployment rate of 7.3%, there certainly is some suggestion out there that that may not be as positive a step towards economic recovery as one might think, because it's driven by very low labor participation rates, the lowest that they've been since 1978. And if, in fact, there is a delay in the tapering off, then it's more likely that we're going to start to see it in 2014.
Yeah, in fact, I was talking about that in my opening comments this morning about the participation rate, and they're trying to find out, they seem to be trying to find out what's causing it. And one of the theories that was put forth in Bloomberg was that it's mainly driven by demographics, aging baby boomers retiring, and if that's the case, it gives a kind of a true picture of the amount of slack left in the labor market. And it would seem to me that if this has kind of been my thesis, and I don't know if this what you think about this, but yeah, when the market hit everybody so hard in 2008, 2009, it forced a lot of people into staying into the workforce. There were a lot of people that were really getting near retirement. They were looking at their 401k plans, and everything was nice and rosy, and then suddenly they went from a 401k to a 201k, and they've come back now. They've just got a lot of them just kind of stayed with it. They've come back now. They're back where they were. And a lot of them are beginning to say, okay, I'm just going to take my money and run. But what that means, I think, is that, you know, those people that have stayed working all this time, they continue to buy gas to go to work. They bought new vehicles to get there. They bought clothing to wear to work. They bought lunches during lunchtime. Those people are beginning to leave the workforce, and that trickles down to have a fairly dramatic impact upon our economy as a whole. Do you see it that way, or am I off base on that?
No, I absolutely agree with you, and I think that one of the interesting things will be, because the Fed has been engaging in quantitative easing, we've been seeing an increase in the S&P 500, and that's been very helpful to 401ks and to retirees. But if, in fact, the Fed tapers off, then we might see that S&P 500 increase actually becoming a decrease, and they may be less likely to want to retire because their 401ks won't be worth quite as much. But I do think that you're absolutely right as well about light vehicle sales and also about, a lot of the purchases that have been made. I think one of the big questions out there, too, is going to be how hard, if the Syrian issue does continue to increase, what's going to happen to the price of oil? You know, Syria is not a major exporter of oil, but it is on one of the major trade routes there in the Persian Gulf of oil. And if, in fact, you know, oil prices start to rise, say up to $150 a barrel, then it might even, the oil price may go up and the gas prices could go up, and it could, you know, cost more to operate, vehicles, and it could lead to an increase in inflation.
Yeah, it's interesting to when we hear someone like you explain it, to see what the impact of something so far away, how it filters down to the pocketbooks of the average American. Now, you guys made headlines this morning, the Associated Press, with your economic forecast of 3% growth in 2014. But it also said there that in your report that you released yesterday, that there was a 45% chance that the Fed would start its tapering as early as this year. Do you think they're going to taper this year, or do you think that all this that's going on out there, that they're just simply going to hold off?
I think they're probably going to hold off until 2014 for two reasons. One is that the unemployment report that came out on Friday, as I said, you know, it showed some, you know, improvement in the unemployment rate, but still we weren't really, and we've been getting some data too that's very positive, like the ISM manufacturing index, light vehicle sales, but it's not as strong an improvement as you might expect. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is that right now there's a lot of concerns about Syria and the degree to which we're going to become involved, or will we become involved.
Right.
And that in turn is even pushing aside some of the concerns about deficit reduction and, raising the debt ceiling.
Now, while we stay over there, I don't know. I don't guess you ask your group about this, but do y'all talk much when you're together and you're talking and you're submitting these reports about what's going on, for instance, in China and other parts of the world? I noticed that you dealt with Greece again, and I want to get to Greece and Europe. But is China's slowdown really significantly impacting us?
Well, you know, we didn't actually directly ask panelists that. But certainly in terms of trade data, we did see an increase in our imports in July, slightly less growth in exports, but still, you know, growth in both imports and exports. China's slowing down has been an issue of some concern. But again, China is slowly starting to show a bit of improvement. It's particularly hit commodities prices.
Oh, that's good.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We've got our favorite guest with us today, Dr. Diantaro Hensel, Professor of Industry and Business at the Industrial College of the Armed Forces. Dr. Hensel is representing today. She is the chair of the NAEB Outlook Survey. That's the National Association for Business Economics, and those are the folks that use economics in their business, and so they do a survey and several times a year, and Dr. Hensel's kind enough to come on a couple of times a year and discuss it with us, and so we've been talking today. They seem to be fairly optimistic. In fact, headlines this morning in the Associated Press, which came from this survey, was that business forecasters maintained their rosy view of the U.S. economy in 2014, predicting a 3% growth by the second quarter of next year, low inflation, and improving employment. On the other side of that, Dr. Hensel, I wanted to kind of discuss this with you a little bit, because on CNBC.com, and this was released by Reuters. Reuters released that U.S. small business optimism dipped in August as owners worried about the economy's near-term outlook. They said the National Federation of Independent Business said their small business optimism slipped a tenth of a point to 94. So it seems like we're getting mixed messages there. Your group seems to be optimistic. This group, not so much. Where do you personally, as you look at the landscape, where do you personally come down on this? Are we going to have a good year next year or not?
Well, on a personal level, I'm not as optimistic as the panelists are about 2014. I think we could potentially see very slow growth, partially because, again, we're getting very involved in whether or not we should be involved with Syria. If, in fact, we are involved in Syria, you know, if you think of how much the 2011 NATO operations in Libya cost, they cost around $600 million, and more than half that cost was to replace Tomahawk cruise missiles. This is also happening at a time when we're looking at what the defense budget's going to be for fiscal 14, what kinds of budget caps we're going to have in sequestration in the federal government. I think that there's going to be a chain reaction in various areas of the country, particularly, dealing with various contracts with companies. That, in turn, can lead to a decline in retail sales and also, issues even with home prices. And secondly, if, in fact, we do see tapering off in 2014, the downside of that is that we could see the S&P 500 fall because we're not seeing the quantitative easing that we were seeing before, and there's also a likelihood of higher mortgage rates too. So, those are definitely some factors to consider out there.
Yeah, they do. And inflation, that seems to be a big question. What do the economists of NABE think about inflation? They're looking for lower inflation?
Well, the economists in NABE are relatively optimistic about inflation. They think it's going to remain slow. They suggest that the consumer price index will grow at 1.6% for 2013 and accelerating to 2.1% in 2014. Remember that Bernanke and the Fed basically want to bring inflation towards about 2%. They don't want it to be too low. Now, I think that one of the concerns out there might be the impact of some of the unrest in the Middle East should it spread farther, because oil prices, according to the panelists, are expected to average $100 for December 2013 and December 2014. However, again, this survey was done before Syria and before the possibility that some of the unrest over the next year could spread in the Middle East, and that in turn could lead to some disruption in oil. Syria, as I said, is not an exporter of oil, but a significant one, but it is along the trade route through the Persian Gulf. And
right.
That could in turn lead to some spiking up in oil prices. That'll increase the trickle down to higher gas prices, and that'll make it a little bit tougher, I think, for consumers.
Absolutely. That even drives, having grown up on a farm, that even drives up your food costs, because it costs that farmer more to fill up that tank on that tractor and do his work. It filters everywhere. Let's go on to the other side of the pond. Let's shift over to the other side of the pond, because frequently, as I said, your surveys don't seem to ask a lot about what's going on overseas, but the last several seem to have addressed Greece. And what is your prognosis to what's going to happen in Greece? I saw the other day that they're beginning to, we haven't heard about it very much, but they're beginning to talk a little bit about Spain now, get a little more worried about Spain again. Are we about to see round two of concerns over the euro and the eurozone, or do you think things have really settled down fairly well there?
I think that we will see a round of concerns dealing with Europe. Part of it is that there's a lot of internal trade within Europe, and in fact, Germany's output results has actually been disappointing. Industrial output in Germany fell 1.7% in the month of July, and that was well below the expectations that were about a 0.5% dip. I think that it's positive that, the European Central Bank is keeping rates steady, but they certainly, it doesn't seem that there's going to be a hiking upwards of the rates at this point. You know, basically President Draghi with ECB has tried to play down with some of the recent signs of an economic rebound, those that are there. And, you know, the central bank, the European Central Bank, suggested that the currency's block economy will contract this year by about 0.4%. Now, our panelists are relatively optimistic. They believe that there is only a 10% probability that Greece will break away from the euro in 2013. And there's a 13 to 18% probability that Ireland, Italy, or Spain will receive a bailout package. Moreover, the panelists believe that there is a 70% probability that no current members will leave the eurozone over the next 2 years. I think one of the interesting and positive things about Greece, certainly, is that the second quarter gross GDP dropped by 3.8%, which was a shallower drop than the 4.6% fall in activity reported in August, and the least negative reading in 3 years. So that's positive. I mean, Greece is still, you know, having a drop in their GDP, but it's not as bad as it was. So that's positive. And in France, we did see consumer confidence improving in August. To 84 from July's reading of 82. So, you know, those are certainly some positive signals. But again, there's still a lot of slowness, I think, in the economy. German output disappointing is another example. And I think that, you know, trade is down a little bit within those countries, and that in turn can impact jobs and retail.
Are we just going to slowly grow our way out of this? You know, I've just kind of wondered whether or not we've had all this artificial stimulus. We've created debts all around the world. There's concerns over China imploding because of they built all those cities that nobody lives in. They have artificially stimulated their workforce by having with kind of make do projects very similar to what Roosevelt did. Back in the 30s to try to put people back to work and make people feel productive. But as I look at all this, I kind of wonder how this is all going to end. And have you given any thoughts to how this ends? And do you think it will end well?
Well, I think that the world is very much geographically interconnected, you know, through trade, through globalization, through jobs that different countries have in other countries. So I think that we're so interconnected that there is a strong possibility that we all could drag each other down. And as each group, you know, Europe maybe improves, another area of the world is going to be dragged down. So interconnected. So I think it's likely that we're going to be suffering for a while. And you know, it's like having a class where, you know, everybody in the class, do you give everybody in the class a D, or do you sort of, you know, write off the debt? And give some of the students, if not all of them, better grades.
Are we going to have to write off the debt? Are we going to have to monetize the debt at some point? It seems to me like the closest thing that we had was back in the late 70s, early 80s, and that that inflation really is what kind of saved the day.
Yes, and I don't know that inflation, I'm surprised inflation has not increased faster than it has, because I do think that inflation would have eroded the value of the debt. I don't think we're actually going to write off the debt, but I think that we're just going to keep on raising the debt ceilings and coming up with a greater stack of debt piling up over the years.
Well, I hope you or somebody else who's really smart comes up with a way to get out of this, because I just can't see how we're going to get out of this well, but I hope so. Well, listen, your report was very hopeful, and we'll take that to heart. Thank you so much for being with us today, Dr. Hensel.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.